Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns through the first month here of 2023. I also provide this monthly market commentary as a blog post each month, which includes graphs as well, which I'll reference today. The general format I cover for these markets remains the same. I'll give you an update on the major asset classes and any noteworthy moves for the month. I'll give you an update on the Treasury market and interest rate moves. I'll comment on actions from the Federal Reserve and if there's any special topics for the month. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So looking at the monthly summary here, if you reference the blog post, I show a table at the top of the post, same table that you'll see if you're a regular reader. It shows you the returns for the last 1 month, year-to-date, and then 2022, last year's 2022, and then the 10-year annualized number. It's not a surprise that the 1 month equals the year-to-date return this time because it's January. But what is surprising to me, looking at the 1 month return, is the numbers are pretty darn high. That almost lead me to believe that it's returns that you'd expect for a full year of a modest returns in the market. So you're looking at equity returns of 6 to 10%, 6%, 6.5% I guess on the U.S. large cap, 10.5% on U.S. small cap. So outperformance there, and then also in the international equity market, that was around 8%, both developed and emerging. Slight nod to the developed, but 8% returns for international equities. So again, those are very, very solid returns. And then this is only 1 month. And so those are kind of numbers that, a person should expect and be happy with for 12-month returns. Now looking down the table on the REITs as well, so the commercial real estate properties, ETF that backs that was up 11%, just under 11%. So that was the top returner for the month. And then there was only one negative, I guess, short of some cash or CPI rates down there. But the negative was commodities. So that was down about 0.5% for the month as things cooled off, especially energy. I also show on the blog post a graph. I use ETFs of the major asset classes to capture the return throughout the last 12 months. That way you can see the ups and downs throughout the time periods. Look at the big drop of last summer, the intermittent rallies that we've had here and there. So looking at that graph, and let me pop it up here, you'll see that, like I mentioned, the fall in the summer, and then it kind of rallied from there, pulled back again, kind of troughing in late October, and then a pretty decent run from there, November through the end of the year, finished the year on a strong note. But then again, reiterating the monthly returns of January here from the year end, to this current time period, now this last month, definitely a noticeable run up in the returns across almost all asset classes. Again, two that did not go, commodities I mentioned, and then also just the bond market in general, was relatively flat. I mean, it was up for the month, but not as strong as equities were. And the other thing too, looking at the graph, the 12-month past 12-month returns. So the two things that caught my attention: one, the small caps, U.S. small caps in that graph, IWM is a ticker that I use. Over the past 12 months, that's actually approaching almost flat from a return perspective. So, a very strong run up here in January to get close to that. It's second on the list, second only to commodities, which over the past 12 months, those was just a barely positive return. So kind of a surprise of the collapse of the commodities, if you will, and then the strong run in small caps. I don't show the graph this time. It's only been a 1 month, so it don't read too much into it. But looking at year-to-date returns for this very short month, growth definitely is outperforming value here, very strong on the tech side and consumer discretionary. You think Amazon, although this was prior to earnings last night. I'm recording this on Friday, February the 3rd. So, but in general, for the month, tech and consumer discretionary with a solid sectors returning. And then on the negative side, not negative, but the low side for the month, more the defensives were lagging quite a bit. So I think consumer staples, healthcare, excuse me, surprisingly utilities were also, that was actually the lowest sector. I would have thought it would have done better given the falling interest rates, which I'm going to talk about next, but they were the lowest returning, which is interesting to me. So that's a quick wrap on the asset class returns. Jumping now over to the next section I always talk about is the interest rates, specifically treasury rates is what I show on the graph on my website. excuse me. So the interest rates, overall in 2022, they were up a lot. So that was the big story of 2022. Real rates, just rates in general moving up, mortgage rates. So toward the end of the year, they pulled back after peaking, call it October timeframe is when rates, kind of peaked. And then they pulled back some. They started rising again throughout the month of December. But again, starting here in January, rates fell again quite substantially just for a one-month move, as the market, is starting to try to price in and decide, how much further the Federal Reserve has to go and if they will be cutting rates and how soon. So I'll get more into the details of that in a second, but definitely the bond market is telling us here in the month of January that they're expecting the Fed to slow and even cutting rates soon, and they are positioning accordingly. The other thing that got my attention, though, and the same thing with equities, I didn't mention it up above, but January is always an interesting month of the year. You always have sometimes the technicians will refer to it as the January effect. You typically may see strong runs in January. It could be a combination of people buying back positions after doing some tax loss harvesting late in the year. As a reminder, you can do that throughout the year, and I strongly encourage that. But some people always wait until the end of the year, sell the stuff, and then they wait the 30 days so they don't avoid the wash sale rules. And so some of it could be people kind of buying back positions that they realized losses on late last year. Could be just new year, new asset allocation positioning. So looking at the chart of the treasuries, which is what caught my attention, it was a pretty fast, pretty strong move in the first week or two of the year. So and definitely there's more value in the bond market now versus, say, a year ago, just given where rates are at. So it could have been just some people positioning, not people, but large accounts positioning. So, there are the technical factors of the January that were driving some of these things as well. I was mentioning, the interest rates went down quite a bit in the month of January. I am recording this on Friday the 3rd, as I mentioned, which means I just saw the jobs report this morning. It was a smoking hot jobs report this morning. There were 500 and some thousand jobs reported, unemployment rate down to 3.4%. So definitely a very, very strong jobs market leaning toward, the Fed, keep going and keeping rates higher because things aren't slowing down on the job side. They are seeing some disinflation coming in, but I'll talk about that in a second with the Fed. So your rates have come down in the month, but just this morning we'll see what happens. It was about a 20 basis point move, so 0.2% on the 2-year treasury. I don't have it up right here, but anyway, interest rates moved back up quite a bit today. 21 basis points on the 2-year right now, 13 on the 10-year, just for today. So definitely shifting stuff around after the jobs report. Still on the Treasury market graph, the curve remains inverted, meaning short-dated maturity bonds have a higher yield than 5, 10, 30-year bonds. So specifically, 2-year Treasuries are giving you 4.27 right now on Friday afternoon, the 3rd. 5 years at 3.62, 10 years at 3.53, and then the 30-year ticks up to 3.64. So, short maturity rates, the short end of the curve it's called, have higher yields in the long end, meaning, yes, the Fed is active, but the bond market is telling you that, hey, we think the Fed is going to have to cut rates soon if the recession comes, and they're going to start lowering rates on the long end of the curve. I have not mentioned the 3-month T-bills yet. It's one of my favorites, regular listeners will know. Currently, if I'm looking at the screen here, 4.65% for 3-month T-bills, likely to get a bit higher as the Fed keeps going here. So That is a very high rate, quite a change from just January of 2022 when we were, less than 10 basis points, less than 0.1%. So a big move there. Shifting over to the Federal Reserve. When was it? Wednesday. So February 1st, 2 days ago, had the first Federal Reserve, the FOMC meeting of the year. Recall, as they wrapped up the 2022 year, the Federal Reserve, they had four consecutive 0.75% increases in rates. And then at the December meeting, they only moved 0.5%, a half a percent rise in rates. And so the meeting here that concluded on February the 1st, they moved 25 basis points or a 0.25. So currently the federal funds range, still doing the ranges, which I'm not a fan of, is 4.5% to 4.75% is the official Fed funds range. They didn't have any summary of economic projections at the time. It's four times a year. So we're going to get that at I think it's the March meeting. But anyway, we didn't get it this time. But we did get, they always give a press conference, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, gives a press conference after each meeting, which is always interesting, and today, or this time, was no exception. So, like I mentioned earlier, the bond market is saying, hey, the Fed is going to have to start moving, cutting rates. They think the bond market is saying, we're going to bid up prices, drive the yields down, because we think the Fed is going to be cutting rates. And Powell and the Fed is saying, we are going to keep raising rates. Powell acknowledged that inflation was slowing. Things were coming down, but he keeps mentioning his particular, so that their goal is the core inflation, core PCE is what they look at, very similar but different than the CPI. Their goal is to get that down to 2%, so quite a ways to go yet. But they've been mentioning the last two meetings now, the services index excluding core services, so excluding food and energy, but also excluding housing. Those are drivers that inflation is going to come down in those components, food, energy, and housing eventually, as the heat comes off of, higher increases due to, supply chain issues and the like. But the Fed is focusing on wages, and so this core services, excluding housing, is their way of getting at that. They say it captures about 55 to 60% of the economy, and they are not seeing as much of a slowdown on that gauge, so they're watching that very closely. And there was also, with the press conference, it's worthwhile listening to, but there were two quotes, and I'm going to pull up, so Nick Timiraos is the Wall Street Journal reporter that covers the Fed. He will put out articles around Fed meetings, and it's always worthwhile reading them because, some say that he may be a trial balloons. He may be floating for the Fed to see how people react. But there was an article on Thursday, following the Fed meeting. And I just want to pull it up here. There were two quotes that I caught while Paul was speaking, but in Timiraos' article on Thursday, Wall Street Journal, talking about this whole, the pushback between the bond market is saying one thing and the Federal Reserve is saying another. And so two quotes caught my attention. One is, and these are from Powell, certainty is just not appropriate here. I'm not going to try to persuade people to have a different forecast, but our forecast is that it will take some time and some patience, and that we'll need to keep rates higher for longer. The other quote that captures, I think, the essence of it here, I continue to think that it's very difficult to manage the risk of doing too little and finding out in 6 or 12 months that we actually were close but didn't get the job done and inflation springs back. So those are two quotes that's, in my mind, very clear what the Fed is telling us, and that is the second point for sure. They are going to make sure that inflation is tamped down. They're going to wait until they see it. They don't want to let that rear its ugly head. Because if they overshoot, they can easily just cut rates. But if they undershoot and inflation gets out of control, bad news. On the first point that he talks about, I guess the main point, and again, I'll just re-quote the very first part, and that is certainty is just not appropriate here, is what Powell said. And I agree. I mean, what he's saying is there's a lot of uncertainty out there. To state with such conviction that, hey, this is what's going to happen, the recession's coming here, we're going to start cutting rates there, no one knows, right? There's a lot of uncertainty going on. So just keep that humility in mind as we're positioning with the portfolios and expressing views accordingly. So that is the summary of the Federal Reserve. What else do I got here? Oh, they didn't mention it as much this time around at the press conference, but as a reminder to everybody, one, each time the Fed raises rates, that means your home equity line of credit is going up. So your lines, if you got a line drawn on them, just went up another 0.25% in rates. And two, even if, as the Fed is, they're slowing down in these rate increases, now down to 0.25% increase, they still are running off their balance sheet to that same large size of $95 billion per month. That's B billion. So even if they eventually stop, my sense is, and the Fed said as much, they're going to likely go probably at least one more time for sure, maybe even two after this morning's jobs report. But in the background, let's not forget, they're letting Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities roll off. They're not buying them back, which means, you know, fewer buyers, lower prices, higher yield. So part of that is that tightening effect as well. And then on to my special topic this month. I really don't have a financial-related one, so that's good news for you guys, right? But I guess I will say it's February 3rd already, so first month of the year is now over. So just make sure we keep grabbing the ones that are left here. So in summary, with the markets, January started out just ripping out of the gates. You know, very strong return. Looking at the table, 6 to 10% returns on equities. You might think those are yearly numbers, but nope, just the month of January here. But keep in mind the potential technical effects of January. Small caps and the REITs were the strongest ones, strongest returns, over 10%. Commodities were the only negative one there. Bonds were up also with these falling rates and rising bond prices. The rates did fall substantially, and they fell even further with the Fed meeting on Wednesday. But again, during the meeting, Fed Powell, Chairman Powell was saying, we'll see what happens with the market. Here we are again, Friday morning. We just saw the jobs report, extremely strong, red hot jobs report market. So a lot of that interest rate moves got taken away today. That was running so hard on Wednesday. And the Fed did move 25 basis points. The rate is now 4.5 to 4.75, likely a couple more 0.25 hikes to come for sure in 23. And again, different opinions in the market, but likely going to hold there throughout the year of 2023 for sure. So I hope the first month of 2023 was great for everybody. Again, there's only 11 more left, so let's make the most of them. And that's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.